Good afternoon, everyone. We have finally gotten through some tech challenges, and Prue, I know you're going to see this, you're going to hear this, I know you've always helped us with this, so thank you so much for your help in doing so. But Johnny, good afternoon. How are you going?
Really good, thanks, Crash. Very excited. Very good to get started.
Absolutely. Now, this is a topic that's close to all of our hearts, a topic that we hear way too often from our clients, from individuals that we speak to, and that today's topic is all about questioning, and really glad that you're taking the time out this afternoon to join us for a topic that I personally feel that it is something that's critical for, I guess, success or your growth, whether you're in business or you're in sales or just sort of personal development. Asking good questions is a really good skill set to have. But before I go any further, I do have an ask of every single person that's watching this live or will tune into the recording a little bit later on. We want to hear from you. As we go through today's session, we'd love to hear about the challenges you faced, the wins you've celebrated, or any questions that you might have for Johnny and I about asking great questions. This is a topic that where we can learn from every single one of us. So drop them in the comments and let's make this really active. But Johnny, I might start with a question because you've been doing this for a very, very, very long time. Why is questioning as a skill set so important?
I think it's just the fundamental element of all communication. So you think about sales in general, like obviously we need to understand needs, but it's also how we generate like with people. It's how we tailor communication with people. Like it's how we coach staff. It's how we understand what's important to our kids and our friends and things like this. So it's such an integral part of it. But I think with sales, it's even more important because if you're generic, you don't have value. And the only way to not be generic is to understand what's critical to them, what's critical to our clients, what's critical to multiple stakeholders. Like I did a stakeholder analysis this morning, a map with a client. And we just went through and we sort of started off saying there's three key stakeholder groups. And then I think we ended up with 16 sort of nuanced groups out there, and that their drivers were so incredibly nuanced and different. And so for any pitch, any messaging, it's got to be really tailored to them. And I'd like to build that out today a little bit more, is to sort of go from the idea of, yeah, questioning is important, to, but how do we use it to generate value, build urgency, increase conversion rates, increase spend, all those things that are outcomes of getting questioning right. And the final thing I'll say on it is it's not that questioning is, say, more important than all the others. It's just you can't do the other aspects unless you question right.
I completely agree, and I think I like questioning to almost sort of a psychologist or psychology in general, where there's a lot of art and sort of science with it, and it's I was doing some prep this morning on the plane as I was coming back to Melbourne, and sort of reading into this I guess a principle that's called the information gap theory. And what this theory talks about is when people realize they don't know something that they should know, that curiosity kicks in. And I think, if I look at the psychology of great questions, I think great questions all tend to do, I guess, three things that really stand out to me, Johnny, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this as well. I think great questions spark curiosity. I think they also, interrupt our sort of usual biased or patterns of thinking as well, by forcing us to sort of get a little bit deeper into, our emotional or rational drivers, which I know we'll talk about, but they also create that sort of emotional connection. And as you talked about, right, this isn't about just asking, hey, I've got 100 scripted questions here and I'm just going to go through them in a client meeting. It's actually getting to know your customer and getting to know what the true problem is. What in your mind, Johnny, do you think, I guess, what makes up a good question to you in your experience?
You kind of nailed one of them, is it sparks thought. Like, I think if you can answer a question just off the cuff, then it's not going to stop and make you think. And not all questions need to be that. And I might save some of that for when we go to the core versus surface. But I think, number one, it sparks. If I think to famous Aussie comedian Carl Barron, he talks about the Australians, and he says that sometimes we can care so little about a responsible answer at ourselves. And so that idea of how are you? You good? right? So I'm asking you a question, answering it. Like, that's not going to spark thought. Even the, and how's things? Yeah, good. How's work? Good. Like, these questions that we just throw out there aren't going to spark a lot of thought. And sometimes the best questions are actually the simplest. You know, how good? How's it good? You know, tell me more about that. What else? You know, those little things that actually spark the person to truly think and almost feel that response. Gee, when did that happen? That felt like those are the things that are putting people in that scenario that's really going to draw it out a lot more. And so I think, you know, from the perspective of what makes a good question, I think it makes people think. I think another one is it's not too outcome focused. And by that I mean, like, when I got first taught to sell, I was told, do not don't ask a question unless you know the answer, meaning lead them down this path. And I just don't think that's true. Like, I think the fact is, ask a question and just be present, like, truly listen off the back of it. And I think that's an important one. And I know quickly you mentioned, for those that are watching, please log in, ask questions, you know, jump in, because it's such a critical part of how these things work. So yeah, I reckon that's what makes a good question.
No, look, and I agree. And I'm just, and by the way, Johnny, I'm not sure what you saw on your end, but it looked like we'd lost you for a couple of seconds whilst you were in the last sort of 30 seconds or so. So just in case people are watching, you know, what Johnny was saying is ask questions. This webinar or this lifted live is about asking questions. So we want to encourage you to ask questions as well during the session so we can make sure we get the best out of it. Look, I completely agree, Johnny. I think, you know, I was sort of reflecting on some of my experiences over the years and you know, that sort of what, how, you know, sort of question rather than a yes or a no response, I think completely changed the tone of a conversation. And you know, one of my favorite conversations was, you know, when I was working in one of my previous roles, was to always ask, you know, sort of clients to go, look, you know, what's an internal bottleneck that your team just sort of works around or pretends it's not having any impact, but deep down everyone knows it's actually holding you back. And people would just sit there in silence, right? And yeah, it'd be quite easy for me to just jump in and go, oh, I meant this, but it was so powerful for that silence to be in that sort of moment. And what I learned through that process was that those people that I was speaking to essentially were able to name the inefficiencies that I was really keen to understand. But then it also encouraged reflection without, you know, sort of blaming each other or, you know, making it uncomfortable. And it creates that sort of shared understanding and also urgency, depending on obviously how, you know, how big the situation or the problem might be. And then if you follow it up to your point of, right, how does that show up, you know, in your team morale or your productivity or what's the cost, you know, if you kept working like that for
What's
another
the impact of
quarter?
that? Right?
Exactly.
But you know, you sort of look at that question, and if we want to get specific, and that's sometimes the feedback we give, right? We get is that people want to get more specific. That question you've asked is unlikely to be an early question,
No,
right?
never.
I'm going to take some notes and go through it. And if you think about this idea of, you know, what makes a great question, I think, you know, number one is a great listener, right? So we talk about this idea, and I want to go through that in just a moment. I think number two I want to talk about is that idea of that ask tell matrix, right? And so that active listening, how do we get the active listening right? But I think the next bit out there is it's this idea of following up, right? And it's not just a question. Like, that's a great question is one that's followed up by another and another and another. I've got a panel discussion tomorrow morning with a group, and they said, what's the secret to this? And I said, the secret is that when I ask you a question, just answer that only and allow me to get the next question in the next. That's how we're going to get depth and engage the audience more. And I think when you talk about, you know, what are some of the challenges that are causing this and causing that out there, is you might just start by saying, you know, how's it going? And they might respond with, oh yeah, it's going pretty well. Tell me what's working. This. And then you might say, is there anything you'd change? And by asking that question, it kind of leads to that idea of they'll tell you what's front of mind to them. What else? And then you might finish with that question, which is specifically, what is it that's going on that's holding you back from this, 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 and this? And then you kind of end specific. But I think if you start specific, it's hard then to get broad.
Yeah, I think that's what I mean. Good questions, and let's not forget that rapport building or setting is actually really important. I'd hate to go to a networking event and the first thing someone says is, right, what are the specific learnings you've had from the first 1 hour of this networking event? I'm like, I'd just love to know what your name is, to be honest. But then
Yeah,
let's
that's
get
right.
down to and then I'll talk to you about my learnings, right? But I think it's people balancing both and not, and I find a lot of people think when they think about the skill set of questioning, sometimes it works people up. So they feel like they've got to go straight to that really heavy hitting question the moment they've walked into a room, right? What do you recommend? And I want this to be a quite a practical session for everyone listening in. Are there any sort of thoughts or tips or tricks, Johnny, that you've seen work when it comes to balancing that initial rapport into, I guess some of those specific questions, if you want to call that?
Yeah, a couple of things. When it comes to questioning, I think sometimes people think that rapport building is personal and then questioning has to be business. So if I'm a fund manager, my questions have to be about you and your fund. If I'm a lender, I want to ask you questions like I'm filling out an application. In fact, we've got a group that sort of works in that space, and it's funny that all the questions they ask, it's like they're ticking boxes when they're going through. And I think it doesn't need to be that into that, because at the end of the day, it's a human being that you're talking to and a human being that is making a decision. And humans make a decision based on emotional and rational drivers. And we need to understand the person to understand that. And so it could be, how was the weekend, Prash? What did you get up to? Oh, do you normally sort of get up to that? And how did you feel coming back to work on a Monday morning? Them saying, oh, I love it. I just, I'm one of those people, I'm just a Mondays person too. It takes me 2 days before I feel like I'm into the week out there, right? That tells me a lot about the person that I'm going to be talking to, not who do you currently use for sales enablement, right? Because then it's just a sales enablement conversation and it's me versus someone else. And am I going to be cheaper? Can I demonstrate value? Now, how can I help you? And it could be, we work on a number of things, and one of those is high performance operating rhythm. And I found that people who do a bit of work on Sunday night or first thing Monday morning on what the plan is for the week, be totally clear, do something for themselves on a Monday morning, start the week stronger, and they get 20% more effective just by having a great Monday for their week, right? And using questioning allows us to get there. I think that, sorry, I might pause there, and there's
No,
another
I was
point
just going to
I'd
add
like.
to it. And I think, we've all heard the term, particularly for those that work in big corporate settings, about psychological safety. But I think good questions actually create emotional safety. And let's face it, when we're talking about being able to sort of, go into the layers and getting to the true problem or getting to really know that person, I think, humans are sort of wired in a way. I don't know if it's good or bad, but we don't like to reveal pain to someone that we don't trust. And, and to your point, Johnny, exactly that, the rapport building and business question related questions are two separate things, right? You can do them both together, but they're both equally as important to create that sense of that connection, right? Because if you've got that connection, you can. And you'll also find that I think your answers improve. Sorry, not your answers. The person that you're speaking to probably gives up a lot more and is willing to share more as a result of that connection or rapport.
I'm going to ask for those that are watching, because I want to make sure there were some people watching, but Prue has assured me that we've got a, it's our biggest number that we've had, I think. And one of the things that I wanted to touch on is jot down what a great question you've been asked or that you use on a regular basis. Like, I'd love to hear the questions people use, but this idea of trust is that trust is so critical, because if they don't trust us or we don't listen effectively, they won't give us more information and they won't give us the real information. And that's when we can start creating value, right? If we just know everything that everyone else knows, it's going to be hard to differentiate ourselves. And so, with this idea of we need to out understand our competition, right? And we do that by asking good questions, but then good follow-up questions. And if they don't like us, or if they don't trust us, or they don't respect us, odds are they are not going to give us that information that we need to get true value out of.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And Johnny, I think, I'm going to ask you to elaborate because you've already sort of gone down that path about, sort of understand the difference between some of those sort of core questions and those surface questions. So do you want to continue down that path? Because I think, you know, this is a, I guess, a model personally I've learned a lot from over the years, having seen you use it, and certainly worked really well for me personally, but then also the teams that I've led, and even the people that I continue to work with today. So yeah, you know, I'd love to get you to expand or elaborate a bit more on that sort of surface level questions versus those core questions.
Yeah, I will. Can I just do one thing to finish off? Something just came to mind then. And it was, do you remember a couple of months ago, I wanted to do a LinkedIn post from a podcast I'd listened to, and you may or may not remember it, but it was around questioning. It was a rugby league podcast. It was a player that had left the West Tigers and gone to the Premier's Penrith. And hearing him talk, and it was fascinating. It was insightful to hear, you know, what makes a great club great and great teams great and great leaders, et cetera, et cetera. And then he talked, he goes, oh, now I'm going to talk about the elephant in the room, which is why you left the last place Tigers. And so straight away, there is a clear bias from the interviewer against that team. So we know already the person being interviewed is going to say he obviously doesn't think a lot about them. So that will change his response because the guy interviewing is really well known and quite popular. And then he said, I'd love to know what was it like. So he asked like about training, and he said, you know, what did you train hard there compared to this? And he goes, well, of course, like we're a professional rugby league team, but you know, we did it differently here. And then he asked this question, and he said, so why did you end up leaving the Tigers? Was it to improve your performance as a player and then for maybe taking a step back in money, but giving you the opportunity to potentially be more successful than being worth more? Right. And he said, oh, yeah, definitely. And then you could hear and see he was making up an answer to meet the question. And I want to make this really clear to those that if you get one thing out of this, is that the way we ask a question will change the answer we receive. So if I say to you, so Prash, you've got a big week ahead, mate, I'd love to hear all the things that are keeping you busy. It's unlikely now you're going to say, actually, it's pretty quiet, right? Because I'm leading you towards telling me about the things that are keeping you busy. You'll skip over Wednesday where you've got no meetings booked. Right, you know, it'll be one of those conversations. And so then he responded and said, yeah, I just thought Penrith could make me a better player. And I thought that over the longer term, whilst he goes, I didn't really take a step backwards because I was already leaving the Tigers because they hadn't offered me another contract. Right. So hear this out. Wasn't even offered another contract. So it wasn't against us or that him, it was them or another club. Right. And I thought if I could become a better player, then yeah, that'll look after me in the future. But it was just one of the most blatant examples of I want this answer. And then the questionee, is that a word? Went and built. And you could tell by how hard I've had to explain this, it hasn't gone very well, that this is why we didn't do a LinkedIn post on it. But I just think I see it all the time with salespeople. Tell me about your current business, what's working at the moment out there, and how are your staff going, and what are some of your challenges you're facing?
Yeah.
And the person's brain is like, yeah, look, it's yeah, business is pretty good. And they just give a either a nothing response or they try and cater it to that response. And I think we've just got to be really careful on at least early, not giving biases when it comes to it. Start really broad and then we can start getting more specific.
Yeah, it's almost like an improper use of a leading question, really, isn't that, Johnny?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk
All
about
right.
surface versus core.
Okay. So I might even give a crappy diagram. I think next time we might even use the digital whiteboard to kind of do it. But this idea, I don't know if everyone can see this, it might be watching on the phone, but the idea here is that we've got surface on the edge and we've got core here. All right. So surface being that, you know, how's your day going, Crash?
Good.
And core could be, but what's the number one thing that's really getting you know, that's causing angst or vulnerability to you in your role at Enable? That's a big jump to suddenly be kind of there. And so there's this idea that we don't ask surface questions. right? There's this idea that they're bad and they're not. That's what starts the process off. It's what warms us up, so to speak. It's like going for a warm-up jog before you go for a sprint, right? It's a really critical element to it. The challenge we have is that people ask loads of surface questions and they don't know they're asking them, right? And so the challenge we have with surface questions, as you can imagine, is if I ask lots of surface questions, what do I get in response?
Just surface level answers.
Yeah, that's right. Just like I did in my frozen area.
Oh,
If I am having any issues, team, and I'm very sorry about that. For those that are watching, I'm literally sitting with cable internet. I'm not sure what's going on. There are construction sessions going on behind us. I don't know if that's impacting it. I did also just notice that Prue has put the questions in the LinkedIn, not in the Q&A of the actual LinkedIn Live. So there is a Q&A button down at the bottom for those that are watching it. So certainly you can jump in there to ask questions. But a couple of things just to read out there. One mention of being frozen, but Billy's come out with this idea of that people can be fragile these days. The first thing I want to do is, in a very gentle way, is what headspace are they in? So understanding whereabouts they're at. And you can do that easily. And then, Sheila's talked about this idea of not leading them to an answer. And I think that's so important, is that we ask these leading questions. A lot of volatility in the market at the moment. How are you finding it? Really volatile. We're finding all that stuff in America is just really keeping people feel uncertain. How are your clients finding it? Oh, really uncertain. Right, that's not helpful. They're not feeling it as they're saying it. And so that's the difference between surface and core. And so what happens is we ask a surface question, and I'm going to do a quick drawing here. From there, we ask a surface question here, and then we move to another surface question, and we move this question and another surface question. And what ends up happening is we ask 50 questions or 30 questions or 10. And we find that we're not actually getting anywhere. And so that idea of getting taking a question, having a response, and then moving to another question on the same topic is the critical element of getting questioning, certainly in sales, right? But I would say certainly in coaching, but even in friendships, oh, so I only just moved here. Yeah, tell me what brought you here? What got you into the industry in the first place? These little just curiosity questions makes such an impact on the outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, it's just that sort of next level of how does it, what they've shared, how does it make them, do things differently? How does it make them feel or just think? It kind of it takes the conversation from being sort of just generic surface level as we're saying, but adds more depth. In those situations, whether it's emotion or clarity, whatever you want to call it, and that depth, to your point, Johnny, you can get to it helps you get to the next layer, but then we can always be learning more, and I think that's the opportunity when you go from that sort of moving away from just, seven surface level questions to going from surface level to then sort of pick that one topic and find out more about that topic. We've talked about curiosity, and that's what good questions do earlier, right? And it's that curiosity with what the person is, replaying back to you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I'm just thinking, for those watching, we haven't planned this at all. But I'm wondering if we could maybe, I'll just give you a quick example and
Absolutely, let's do it.
crash you be you, but I'll give you an example first and just say, how's the week been, Prash?
Really busy.
Beautiful. How's the weekend?
It wasn't meant to be busy, but then it became really busy.
Okay. Got any trips planned coming up?
Not for a few weeks.
I know you love cooking. A guy takes a lot of holidays when he says not for a few weeks as his response to that. I know you love your cooking out there. You've been cooking any good things lately?
I've got a bit of a wish list for my next Instagram video, Johnny, but I haven't put that together just yet.
Crashy's Kitchen for anyone who's interested in
Thanks for
finding
the
out more of
promo.
what the master chef is. But let's just stop there for a second. Five questions I've asked you, and what do I know about you? I know that you've got a busy week. You weren't meant to have a busy weekend, but you do. You're going on a trip in a few weeks, and that you love kitchen, you love cooking, but that's a bit I've added to there, right? You've got a new recipe card. That example of asking a surface question, we get a good response, and then we move to the next topic, and then we move to the next topic, and we move to the next topic. What we want to do a little bit differently is it could be about any of these topics out there, like the weekend. It wasn't meant to be busy, but it became busy. So what made it busy?
I ended up driving to Sydney, Johnny, yesterday with my parents. That was totally unplanned. So, 10 hours of driving with a golden retriever in the car. Fantastic. Highly recommend it.
Now, I know that there's a bit of a backstory here. I didn't know that you'd done this, obviously. But I know that the golden retriever's unwell. But what that leaves it up into, so what made you come to Sydney so last minute? Right? And then you tell me about, well, so let's go. What do you
No,
mind doing
look, yeah,
this
it
or
was
what?
actually, the planned trip was meant to actually happen in a week from now, but just sort of there's some things just sort of tend to happen, and we ended up being in Sydney, this side of the week rather than say next weekend instead.
And what was the reason for the Sydney visit?
So yeah, so my parents got a golden retriever who needs a bit of treatment done, and the treatment can only happen in Sydney at SASH, one of the best, animal hospitals in the country. So, what I didn't want to do was have my parents drive 10 hours on their own. So, did the right thing and I drove them there.
Beautiful. Now, what's the dog's name, by the way?
Bruno.
Bruno. I love the name, Bruno. Right. And so, if we pause for a second, we've asked less than five questions, but how much more do we know? Right. And we don't know the answers to a lot of these things, but I would say that number one, you're a pretty compassionate person when it comes to animals. You are probably pretty close with your parents and that you like to help, right, out there. And so, what that tells us is a bunch of things. It also potentially tells us that you've had a got a pretty busy week ahead because it's some unplanned stuff that's been going on, right? And so this will now lead to a bunch of questions that we can ask off the back of it. Now, some of you might be thinking, how is this relevant? How does this actually match to an answer, I suppose, or to a commercial outcome out there? And the first one is straight away, it's telling us about the human. So it's telling us about the person that we're going to be talking to. So I think that's really important. Number one is that we do understand the person. Number two, it builds rapport. And number three, if you tell me that you've got to drive to Sydney and I say, oh, that sounds tough and move on, that'll not only not gain trust, it could break trust. Tell me about this. And we tell us about the dog and we just suddenly move on, right? Again, that is breaking trust. And so we've got to make sure that we're using this questioning and spending that time out there, and that will give us commercial outcomes when we're getting there, right? And so I think it's really important that we look at that, and then we don't just suddenly go, now let's talk business. You transition to business, right? So I might ask that ability to just move it, like it was work okay with that? I work for myself. I'll tell me more about that. How'd you get into it? All these things can just lead off the back. Right. We've got someone here that sort of mentioned a question here that, and I understand that it is freezing sometimes, and I apologize for that. I get it's not ideal and would be frustrating. I hope that the content that we've got is going to make up for that. But one of the things we've got here is I like to ask if a customer says no to my offering, I understand that you don't want XYZ, so I can go back to head office and see if we can improve that in any way. What is it precisely that's holding you back? And that reopens a conversation. As the pressure's off them as well. And so that's an example of a question that thanks, Anne, for sharing that out there. And it's a bit like maybe the next one we're going to do is objection handling, but we talk about in objection handling, one of our techniques was exploring the opposite, right? And so that idea of that if everything was the same price, what would be the next most important thing, right? Is trying to understand what drives them, what's important to them. But I think this cool versus surface, and that's a really, really, important thing for us to know is that people make decisions at their core, and we don't get there by asking surface questions, right? And so that's a big piece.
And can I just add to that? Because I think there's the other part of what the surface, going from surface level questions to the core also does. And we've heard this before where, people don't just buy products, they buy, the experience, or, they buy the person. And, it's that decision make helps with that decision making for the person as well, where the decision making is often made both emotionally and rationally. And that question, that sort of line of questioning helps you get both. rather than just getting all the rational elements, all the numbers and the processes and whatever. And then we forget, why are we even solving this problem in the first place, right? Or what is the problem to solve in the first place? And that's one of my favorite questions is, what is the actual problem that we're trying to have? Have you defined the problem rather than saying, oh yeah, if we did this, it'll just magically just fix it? Go, well, it hasn't been fixed for the last 15 times. Why does that happen now? Or why do we think it's going to happen now? So, there is an element of making sure we cover off both emotional and rational elements in this, or try and get that information to help both parties make an equal decision, not just one.
With that though, because you make a really good point, and I'm mindful of, a time here, but there is a tendency, I think, with salespeople to try and uncover the problem. And so therefore we try and find a problem. And I find that sometimes in sales, well, first of all, a lot of people don't trust salespeople naturally. And so if a salesperson walks in and starts trying to find a problem, the more they kind of tense up and they try and release less and less, right? Two, if you sort of lead with, tell me about what the problem is you're having, it's this assumption that's almost negative. And I think some people, again, can tense up and not open up. But I think what it also does, it takes away the upside potential, right? And I think with that in mind, I think that sometimes it's not a problem. It's actually, there's an upside, there's potential. There's something great that can come for it. But I also find that the easiest way of finding the problem is to first reconfirm the stuff that's working. And so if I was to say, and I've had this multiple times, but I was with a group not that too long ago, I said, it sounds like everything's going great. And they said, oh, look, things are going well. I said, congratulations, well done. Like it really feels like you put a lot of work in and that's equaling that. And they said, oh, it's not all perfect. I said, yeah, but I think it's important to acknowledge when people are doing great things, what that looks like, right? You mentioned it's not perfect. Right? If you could change one thing, what would that be? And you can sort of already tell how much softer that is than tell me about the problem that you're facing. Tell me about the challenges you can't overcome. What's wrong with this? It's just if you could change one thing, why would it be important to change that? Right? What would the impact be if you could get that right? Could you give me an example? What have you tried before? How did that go? Right? Why do you think that didn't work out there? And so these types of questions, like starting positive, starting upside, and then making that shift to that, I think gives you a higher probability of getting, true information. Two, they're going to actually open up to you off the back of it out there. And I think three, they're going to tell you something real. And, to come back to what we first started with, the reason that is so critical is that when you get to the point where you're about to position your offer, it can't be, and we're going to give you more efficiency. It's got to be, we're going to give you time back on the day in your day because I know you've talked about how important this is, and we want you to be able to. I had a coaching session just before this with a bunch of leaders, and someone said, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing that and I'm doing that. I don't have time to do this. And it was great. But what do you think the impact would be if we don't do it? What would the impact be if that project was 3 months late? I'd get in trouble off my boss. Cool. So what do we need to do? I need to go and talk to my boss because there's no point finishing a project on time and being 6 months behind sales targets. Right. But I didn't tell them this. I used questioning to draw it out of them. So it's really critical in that coaching element too.
And Johnny, can I maybe ask this, but I'm just conscious of time too, right? So let's build on this. What about questioning? And let's talk in the cold calling scenario for salespeople, right? Certainly, there's plenty of videos. You can just jump on TikTok and type in sales, and gosh, there's some great videos on people doing cold calls live and all that kind of stuff. But I'd love to get your thoughts and or tips and tricks, or maybe we can, role play an example if we can, on the whole cold calling scenario, and how does good questioning help us in that sort of specific situation?
Well, I think whilst you can type in and there's a lot of videos on there, my experience, a lot of them are wrong. And it's really easy to get caught up with these things where it looks good. And I know you've got an expertise here, so you can see through it because they deliver it well, or they do it in a way where the customer's really engaged in it. But technically, what they're doing is wrong. And I think that the first mistake in a cold call is expecting that they want to answer your questions. Gary Vee did this piece once at a group, and he said, "When the, who gets a phone call from a random number, a number they don't know, right? Is there anyone here who feels a bit put out that they've got to answer a call with people they don't know?" And like 85% of the room put their hand up. He goes, "Because it is. You weren't expecting it. Like anytime you get a phone call that was not being expected, it will put you out a little. And so how you handle that call is really important. Like how that person handles that first 10, 15 seconds. So, you know, cold calling in a way, you know, isn't about questioning. It's about the first 10 to 15 seconds, even 10, is justifying why they should spend more time with you.
You're right.
Right. It's that simple. This is why you should listen to me. This is why you should have a good. It's not about selling them something. It's not about booking an appointment. It's about why you should give me 30 more seconds. Back in my door-to-door days, it was this idea of this is why you should have a conversation with me. This is why you should let me in the door. This is why you should allow me to develop a need. This is why you should let me, you know, show you my product that we're selling. Like it's that idea of it's those types of sales are just like the big stuff we do, but it's in these mini pieces, like mini micro stages that we need to get through. And so, like if I did a call of, "Hi, can I speak to Prash, please?"
Speaking.
"Prash, it's Johnny, and I'm calling from a company called Enable IQ, and we're a sales enablement firm that works with organizations around and sales teams around getting higher performance. And I wanted to ask you a few questions about your sales team, get a bit more information from you as well around how you're currently using sales enablement. Have you got a moment now?"
Sure.
Right. If you called me with that, my brain would be one, if you've taken that long to introduce yourself, right? And I'm not saying that's a bad call. Right, I probably should have made the bad call worse. But I think number two, it's this idea of, well, what do you get out of the call? Like, I want to get some more information from you, but what do I get out of it? Right. And so it could be, I want to know, Crash, maybe I've got something for you. So it could be that we've got a free diagnostic report that we send through benchmarking.
Oh, I think Johnny may have frozen again, just as the part we was taught. Johnny, we've lost you for a second, so could we replay the last 10 seconds of what you were going to, essentially example the good call.
Yeah, great. Let's do that now. Hopefully this one works. Can I speak to Prash, please?
Speaking.
"Prash, this is Johnny Lee calling from Enable IQ. We're a sales enablement firm that helps organizations around driving greater performance. And through that, we've run this diagnostic, which we've benchmarked sales teams across geographies, across experience, across a lot of ways that we're finding people are finding useful within their sales teams. Do you run a sales team yourself?
I do.
Would you see any value in me shooting that through? There's no charge at all."
Yeah, sure. Flick it through.
Beautiful. Look, I'll send it through to you. What it outlines is this, and this. Look, let me quickly grab your email address if that's okay, and I'll send it through. Before I do, what sort of sales team do you run?
Team of 10 door knocking people.
Oh, doggy, what are you selling?
Oh, God. Solar panels.
Beautiful. And how are you finding business at the moment?
Very challenging.
Well, can I ask you more about that?
I look, it's a very competitive market, and there's low barriers to entry for people wanting to sell this product. So, we're competing with hundreds or thousands of suppliers essentially.
Ask you this, I'm just probably more out of curiosity than anything else, but solar being obviously sun driven, do the seasons play any role in when sales are made?
I think so. Yeah. Look, I think there is an element to this. But also I think, it is a financial commitment more than anything else. So I think people get that there's a seasonality to usage, but you've got to have money to pay for it upfront or, whatever it might be.
Now, let's use that as an example and break it up. I've gone from asking something from you to wanting to add value and give something to you. Give me some ideas as well, by the way. From there. But the second thing is, I wanted to release any pressure that you might feel and just let you know that I'm going to send that through and there's no charge. And then throw out there, by the way, do you have any sales? Now, I felt it was getting a bit too question and answer. So that's why I threw the curiosity bit in there. I've still completely related, still on the same cause of questioning, but just always been curious about this, demonstrating interest, demonstrating curiosity out there, but also a bit of playfulness that we're playing there. Like, I know this stuff's really nuanced that I'm trying to drive towards, but this is the kind of stuff that we need to be coaching our people on when it comes to this, or coaching yourself on, is just practice, right? Is that idea of like, how do we use our voice? How do we use the physicality? But sometimes if you're feeling like it's getting a bit Q&A, throw something in there. I've always loved XYZ, right, out there. Yeah, how do you use that? Right, it's finding things to break it up. I try and, sometimes I'll use humor and break that up there, or I'll relate in some way. And so with questioning, it's not as though you have 5 minutes to question or 50 minutes to question or whatever it is. It's every situation you're in is completely different, and so it's really critical that we adapt with what's in front of us. And if you're feeling like it's going towards one way, it doesn't mean we stop asking questions.
Well, wait, I think Johnny will come back in a second, but I might just add to Johnny. I think what we've also seen in our experience when we work with sales team, and particularly those people that are really good at cold calling too, there's an element of that curiosity, as Johnny used the term, but it also takes the fun. And that when you make that fun or humor element or curiosity element into it, it also takes a person away from the sheer, yes, no responses. Johnny, welcome back. I think we've just got you back.
I am back. I don't know. I was thrown out altogether.
No, all good, mate. I was just saying, as we were just, waiting for your screen to refresh, whatever, but that cold calling experience, or example that we did, I think what I've seen really good people do is when they do use that element of humor or curiosity, it breaks the ice from the whole yes, no, I'm going to be very defensive. This is a sales call, so I'm going to make it hard for them. All those thoughts, you actually remove that person from, in that mindset to, oh, look, yeah, I'm happy to talk about weather or, whatever it might be. And it's a very subtle change. You haven't changed topics necessarily, but it's certainly the person on the receiving end of that cold call. We'll call it attitude or mindset towards a phone call changes very quickly just on the base of one or two of those questions.
You know what? It brings me back 27 years ago when I was selling alarm systems, and there was a bit of a guru, and I'm not endorsing this in any way, but he had this thing that he, shift workers, hospitality workers, people who work later shifts at service stations, they were away from home a lot, and therefore they liked security a lot. And he back then it was too early to have databases of people and using AI methods and these sorts of things. And so he used to physically go fill up his petrol, and that was when they'd fill up petrol for you. And he'd say things like, just fill her up, just standard, actually make it premium, I'm celebrating. Or he'd go to a fish and chip shop and say, can I get a piece of fish, actually throw in some chips, I'm celebrating. You go to a pub and say schooner of EB, actually make it a crown, I'm celebrating. And I think you probably know where I'm going here. Guess what the one question they always asked him was, what are you celebrating,
What are you
right?
celebrating?
And so he would say, oh, I've been selected to be able to provide, we did a free security assessment, all these things, you could do this, 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 and this for a certain number of families. Have you got a family yourself? You know what? Like, you might be able to. And it was this kind of, it just broke the ice immediately and had this bit of rapport with them. And I think, an icebreaker is this such, it's almost at the beginning of sales, I got taught it, but I don't know if people do get taught this anymore. Like, we certainly don't cover a lot of it in the platform, but it's such a critical element because it's the bit that goes from, because I think, how has sales changed in 27 years since I've started at 28 now? The biggest change that I've seen is that we are more distracted now than we were, right? And so when I used to cold call or door knock, back when I door knocked, you could knock on someone's door. Now, if someone rang, I live in an apartment, if someone rang my apartment and I wasn't expecting it, and it happens sometimes, I'm like, what, who's this? Like, I'm so put out by it. right?
Yeah.
Someone rings my phone, I don't know the number, and it's kind of like, who's this calling me up? Whereas back in the day, you'd take the call and so on. So there's the distraction that while I'm on the phone to you, like this session here, I've got the sort of some of the a bit of a flow that we had. But as it's happening, now I realize questions are coming through LinkedIn. So I had LinkedIn open on this thing here. And so I'm finding myself, and we'll have to fix it for next time. But it does make it more challenging because distraction's there. And what an icebreaker does, it takes our brain from being everywhere to just being in the room, being present. And then once we have that presence, then we can start asking those rapport style questions. And then once we ask those rapport style questions, then we can actually start to start building some real understanding, some real need. And I know we're almost out of time, so some of the stuff I want us to think about is the questions around asking for examples. You know, give me an example, or when did that happen last, and so on. The reason why we ask that is because they can sort of relive the experience again. It brings the emotion of losing that deal. It brings the emotion of whatever went wrong or the winning of the deal, and brings it into the room. Right, which is where value is built. Tell me more about that. You know, is one. What else is another? You know, it's the next question and the next question. Even when you're coaching someone, you know, seeing someone to get a little bit uncomfortable. Hey, I just noticed you got a little bit uncomfortable. What's going on for you right now? Like, do you feel that regularly? Like, and then having a conversation. They're the things that you uncover real need and real drivers. And then when you are coaching a solution, or you're, you know, coaching a solution into a client, it's, I know you've talked a lot about this, and this. We just want you to be in a position where you know that's not going to happen anymore because of this, which will give you time back, give your team greater confidence, et cetera. So you're specifically repeating back the words they've given you.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree. And Johnny, I think we are on conscious time, so we will start to wrap up. And I might give you a second or two to sort of get your thoughts on this sort of wrap up for today's thing. But one thing that, I've certainly learned, and I know Johnny sort of instills this in a lot of his training sessions from a preparation perspective, I think questioning again, take the time out to practice, do role plays with your colleagues, with your leader, whoever, whoever is your support person. Because at the end of the day, unless we say it out loud, we won't really know what that interaction is. And to your point, our tonality, our physical, demeanor when we're asking these questions, they're all really important factors of questioning. Questioning isn't just the words that are going to come out of your mouth, because you can ask a really good question, but if you're monotone and sound really boring, that impact is not the same as, a bit of energy or whatever you want to call it. So I think one thing that I would encourage everyone listening to this live or even the recording a little bit later on, take the time out, practice, 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 because that's the only way we will get better at questioning. But also, one of the things that we often talk about, and certainly, call it pre-meeting prep. So as you're going into a client meeting or a new business meeting, whatever it might be, one of the things that I certainly use really, that works for me is I think about the questions that I will ask that helps people think, feel, and do, right? Because that gets both the, I want to explore the emotion. So, how would it feel, Johnny, as you say, how would it feel if, if this is resolved? What do you get back? Or what happens, if this keeps going? So those sort of questions really help us create a conversation that, helps us get to the core that we've talked about today. And, I mean, but someone, I can't remember who said this, but there's actually a quote around, really good people who ask really good questions, they stop trying to be interesting, but instead are interested, right? It's quite a powerful way of looking at questioning, because it's not about what me, but it's actually about the other person ultimately. And I think that's what great questioning can help bring to conversations. Johnny, what's your sort of wrap up on this? And I'll do a bit of an enable wrap up at the end, but keen to get your thoughts.
Yeah, look, I think number one mindset is just get curious. Like from now, just like I'm lucky. You've been out with me. I want to know stuff from people, right? And I want to know where they're from and what got them there and things like this. And I think that stuff's really important. Number two is stop trying to solve their problem. Like the value comes from that problem being spoken about, on talking to the impact of it. Like if you spend time about the problem, and I think we're just so quick to just solve it. Number three, you've touched on, is practice, right? Like I know that with the Johnny 2.0 that we're building at the moment, you can actually practice with an AI version of me, as weird as that sounds. But certainly grab a colleague and practice. But you know, one of my first mentors talked about this idea of practice doesn't make perfect, practice makes permanent. It's perfect practice that makes perfect. So if you don't do a great job, get some feedback, do it again, but this time better, right? And so that's where that big impact comes in. Obviously, it's just ask more, right? But on the same line, so you've got this idea of get curious, stop solving, and then ask another question instead. You'll have to solve at some point, but solve using the specifics. And then like, I just think for anyone online who's been watching, this is your career. And sales is a well-paid career. And I'm speaking tomorrow morning to a group in real estate, and whilst their incomes can be enormous, the difference between the incomes in the room are like 15 times in that room. Yet, same hours in the day, they work in the same territories, work for the same company, right? And you kind of look at that idea of just one got really good at it and the other one potentially hasn't. And so invest in yourself, invest in your skills. If you want to talk to Prash or myself, please reach out. But I think it's just a matter of jump on these sessions, ask questions throughout. Like I think that stuff's really critical because we didn't always grow up in an environment like I did, where we had daily role plays, right? That we literally, which to be honest, at the time, a lot of people hated it, because it was hard work. But it was just that idea that you're practicing every single day, right? To get better at your craft. And the final thing I'll say is if you're not practicing out there on the customer, you're practicing, sorry, you're not practicing in here, you're practicing out there on the customer.
No,
And I
that's
think that's
well.
a really important factor.
Yeah, well said, Johnny. And I know I agree. And I think, for anyone who's been watching this, if the session sparked, something in you, great. If you're thinking I need to get better at it, even better, I say. And looking, as Johnny said, we do a lot of work, whether it's one-on-ones with individuals or teams to sort of really help, whether it's role plays, in fact, I did a role play last week with a team and, often it's the case, but we want to do role plays with people that we don't know because there's that sort of almost a sense of, oh, what will he or she think? But it is about, how do we sort of create better feedback loops to help you, get feedback that you want, in a safe environment so you can go out and execute your best work. And obviously, if you want to know more about the coaching work that we do, reach out to Johnny and I. And if I want, it'd be remiss of me to not talk about the Enable IQ platform because let's face it, the most used topic on the platform is questioning, right? Without a shadow of doubt. And the module in itself has got, I mean, gosh, I probably need another 10 minutes to talk about what's in the module, but I think it's about, having exercises. You can create your own sort of personal, question bank, and there's plenty of practical frameworks to help you use, before any and every client interaction. So again, if you want to know more about the Enable IQ platform, reach out to Johnny and I. But the last thing I also want to say is, we'd love your feedback from today's session. The reason why we choose these topics is because they're topics that we hear from our network, the people that we work with. So we'd love to hear, what you took away from today, but also what are some of the other topics that you'd like us to explore in the future sessions? Because, we certainly, there is a bit of a trend to the topics we're hearing in the market, and questioning is without doubt the number one topic that we hear from for many of our clients, or it comes up in workshops all the time. So if you want to know more, just reach out to Johnny and I. But Johnny, thank you as always, mate, for your insights. I think the role play stuff, we've got to do more of it because I reckon what that does is it makes it real, but also gives people tangible examples that copy and paste. One of my best managers said to me, plagiarism is often the best form of flattery. And I think if you can use some of these questions and bring them into your conversation, if they work for you, that's brilliant news as well. So thank you everyone for joining us this afternoon. Johnny, thank you once again. And let
Cheers,
us know what you
Trevor.
think, and we'll see you on the next LinkedIn Live. Have a great week, everyone.
See you in a month, everyone. Bye.
See
Thanks,
you,
Prash.
everyone.